Yes, Minister, by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn. Starring Paul Eddington as the Right Honourable James Hacker MP and Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey Appleby, with Derek Foles as Bernard Woolley in The Death List.
Oh, excuse me, Minister. There's something in the press that I think you ought to see.
About me, that's nice.
Well, I'm afraid it's in Private Eye.
Private Eye?
They're exposing something.
Not that character reference I wrote for Dr. Swindra. Make up in that squalid little rag. What is it, then?
Well, perhaps you'd better read it.
Yes, perhaps I had. My God.
Frightful, isn't it?
May I come in, Minister?
Yes, sit down. Listen to this.
Oh, Private Eye, that's good.
The saga of the top-secret Guthrie report on security practice, whose existence was revealed to readers of the Eye last week, continues to embarrass ministers. It seems that one of the present cabinet, subject to phone-tapping, bugging, and 24-hour surveillance while in opposition, was none other than the egregious Jim Hacker. What does egregious mean?
I think it means outstanding.
Oh, good.
In one way or another.
Egregious Jim Hacker, whose Department of Administrative Affairs administers 23,000 other administrators. Ironically, it is the egregious Jim's department that is now responsible for supplying all the government's computerized bugging equipment. Presumably this makes him the government's chief bugger.
Oh. Brilliant.
Humphrey.
Yes, Minister.
Is this true?
What, Minister?
Was I once under surveillance, and am I now responsible for bugging equipment?
Oh, surely you don't believe what you read in that squalid little rag?
Never mind that. Is it accurate?
Well, I don't think we should take it too seriously, Minister.
Oh, don't you? Well, I do. They're saying I was under total surveillance, a free citizen and an MP. Surveillance is an attack on democracy, Humphrey. Did you know it contravenes the European Convention on Human Rights?
Surveillance is an indispensable weapon in the battle against organised crime.
You're describing politicians as organised crime?
Well, disorganised crime, too. No, seriously, Minister.
No, Humphrey, I wrote a leader about this while I was editor of Reform, and I started a nationwide petition against bureaucratic busybodies, snooping and phone-tapping. And now I learned from Private Eye, please note, Humphrey, not from you, that I, of all people, am in charge of the whole technical side of it. Why didn't you tell me about this?
You didn't ask.
Thank God for the free press. Thank God for at least one brave, open and fearless journal in this country.
I thought you said it was a squalid...
Bernard. You really must sharpen up your political antennae. Learn to adjust more flexibly to the developing situation.
Yes, I see what you mean, Minister. I'm sorry.
Now, what happened to the transcripts of my bugged and tapped conversations?
Well, I imagine they were put into a report.
And who got those reports?
Well, I imagine the Home Secretary got them.
Gets them?
Well, not about you, Minister, not now. Now you'll be getting reports on current members of Her Majesty's opposition.
Who gives them to the Home Secretary?
MI5, presumably.
You seem very calm about all this, Humphrey.
Yes, Minister.
Well, I think it's horrifying. A British citizen... A distinguished British citizen in my case, one who has dedicated his life to the service of his fellow countrymen. And all the time, these gloating, faceless bureaucrats are listening to his every word. All his private calls, his rows with his wife, his shouting matches with his daughter, his private arrangements with his accountant.
No, quite, Minister.
Well, why?
Why what? Why surveillance or why you?
Both.
Well, in either case, it's the same answer.
Then why did you split it into two questions?
I didn't want to risk answering a question that you were not asking, Minister.
Well, I am asking. Why was I under surveillance?
Well, I should have thought it was perfectly obvious. Before the election, it was rumoured that you might be appointed Secretary of State for Defence.
So?
Well, if the PM were to consider giving you defence, you can surely see that it would be in the national interest for MI5 to satisfy itself that you were not a security risk.
But my privacy was invaded.
Better than your country being invaded, Minister.
Have you ever been under surveillance, Humphrey?
Me?
Yes. Humphrey.
But I am a civil servant, Minister.
You were Burgess and McLean.
Ah, yes, well...
And Philby.
Yes, but they were not permanent secretaries.
Hmm.
Minister, one becomes a permanent secretary only after a lifetime of proven responsibility, reliability and integrity. The most rigorous selection procedures winnow out all but the most upright, honourable and discreet of public servants.
Yeah, and what about ministers?
Well, ministers, of course, have a whole range of dazzling qualities, including... an enviable intellectual suppleness and moral manoeuvrability.
What are you trying to say?
You can't trust them. Oh, not you, of course, Minister. But ministers, unlike civil servants, are selected completely at random. By prime ministerial whim, in recognition of doubtful favours received, or to avoid appointing someone of real ability. Not you, of course, Minister. And you can most certainly be trusted. You might almost be a civil servant yourself.
Well, does he mean that as a compliment?
Oh, yes, indeed, Minister. The ultimate compliment.
Minister, would you trust every one of your cabinet colleagues never to betray a confidence? And all the opposition front bench?
Atlock, you must be joking.
Quite so. And you were on the opposition front bench at the time.
Humphrey, I've made my decision. I'm going to stop it.
But it's a Home Office matter, Minister.
Well, I can make it more difficult for them. If I'm responsible for all the apparatus, I shall see that there are real democratic safeguards in future.
Are you perhaps going to suggest that people will not be able to be put under secret surveillance until they have signed a form saying they agree to it?
No. I mean we'll have a select committee of both houses, chaired by a law lord, to decide on every application. And no surveillance will go on for more than 2 weeks without reapplying. Would you set the wheels in motion, Humphrey?
Very well, Minister.
Bernard, we'll send a minute to each member of the Cabinet, and I'll plant a question from one of our backbenchers to the Home Secretary. How about, will the Home Secretary assure the House that none of his cabinet colleagues has ever been placed under government surveillance? That'll shake him.
Certainly will, Minister.
Oh, and invite Walter Fowler from the Express to meet me for a drink at the House tonight. Annie's bar.
What for, Minister?
First law of political indiscretion, Bernard. You always have a drink before you leak. Will it make a story?
Oh, I think so. Minister fights for phone tap safeguards.
Yes. Where will they run it?
Well, fairly high up on the Home news page.
No, not on page one.
Well, can I attribute it? Minister speaks out?
No.
So where did I get the story? I can't say it was officially announced or government spokesman. How about sources close to the minister?
Yeah, steady on. I don't want everyone to know I told you. Can't you just... speculation is growing in Westminster?
Well, that's a bit weak.
Unofficial spokesman?
Well, I've used that twice this week already.
Cabinet's leaking like a sieve, isn't it?
Yes. Could we attribute it to a leading member of the sieve, cabinet?
No.
Well, how would you like to be an informed source?
Okay. Informed source.
It's quite a joke, really, isn't it?
What?
Describing someone as informed when his permanent secretary is Sir Humphrey Appleby.
Everything we said on the phone, everything we said to each other, all recorded, transcribed. It's humiliating.
Yes, I see. It is a little humiliating that someone at MI5 knows that what you talk about at home is what you talk about in public. The gross national product, the public sector borrowing requirement, the draft agenda for the party committee.
No, I don't mean that. I mean all our private family talk.
Oh, dear, yes. I hadn't thought of that. Have you got the car keys? No, I thought you had them. No, I gave them to you. My God, that could bring the government down.
Annie, you're not taking this seriously.
Whatever gives you that idea?
They might have heard what we say to each other in bed.
Why? Do you snore in code?
You try to tell me something.
Well, since you ask, it's the recess coming up. Why don't we go away for a long weekend, like we used to?
Oh, yes. What the hell? Why not?
Let's go to Kingsbury Down.
All right. Where's that?
Only where we spent our honeymoon, darling.
Oh, yes.
It was where you first explained to me about the effect of velocity of circulation on the net growth of money supply.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Would you have the tape running on that, boys?
the minister on a death list.
Mm-hmm.
But who are the International Freedom Army?
We do not yet know.
Whoever they are, why on earth should they want to assassinate the minister? He's so harmless.
Nevertheless, we cannot take risks with the minister's life, Bernard.
No, of course. So that means the full...
Quite.
Ah. Oh, good morning, Minister. How are you?
Good morning, Minister. Didn't sleep too well.
Oh, I feel like death, actually.
Perhaps that's just as well.
Did you see that story in the Express? Hacker moves to curb phone taps?
Indeed. I wonder where they got the information.
Leak, I suppose. Shocking, isn't it?
Shocking.
Anyway, it only confirms my determination to act on this matter.
Minister, are you sure that you've considered all the implications?
Yes. Free citizens have a right to privacy.
But suppose MI5 had reason to suspect that these free citizens were, shall we say, to take a purely hypothetical instance, planning to assassinate a minister of the Crown.
The freedom of the British people is more important than the lives of a few ministers. Freedom is indivisible. Ministers are expendable. Men in public life must expect to be targets of cranks and fanatics. A minister has a duty to set his own life at naught, to stand up and say, here I am, do your worst. Not cower in craven terror behind electronic equipment and secret microphones and all the hideous apparatus of the police state.
But, Minister...
No, Humphrey, I don't want to hear any more about it.
Minister, you must allow me to say one more thing on this matter.
Well, one sentence, Humphrey, and keep it brief.
The special branch have found your name on a death list.
That has absolutely no relevance. But, Mark, what?
The special branch have found your name on a death list.
What do you mean, a death list?
An assassination list.
I know what you mean by a death list, but I'm... What do you mean?
Well, I don't know how I can express it any more clearly, Minister. Well, to put it absolutely bluntly, confidential investigations have revealed the existence of certain documents whose provenance is currently unestablished, but whose effect, if realized, would be to precipitate a by-election.
What do you mean?
You're on a death list, Minister. International Freedom Army, a new urban guerrilla group, apparently.
What have they got against me?
Well, as you know, Minister, there have been vague rumours of a cabinet reshuffle, and your name has been mentioned in one or two of the papers in connection with the Ministry of Defence.
Who could they be?
Well, it's hard to say, Minister. It could be an Irish splinter group, or PLO, or Black September. It could be homegrown loonies, anarchists, Maoists. They might also be Libyans, Armenians, Iranians. In any case, they're all interconnected. This could simply be a new group of freelance killers. The special branch don't know where to start.
But there is a list of names, is there? It's not just me.
No, not just you.
I suppose there are hundreds of names on it.
Just three.
Three.
Yes, just three.
Yes. Oh, yes, I'll come down. Minister, Commander Forrest from Special Branch. May I bring him in?
Yes, of course.
Special Branch, inform the Home Secretary, who's recommended detectives to protect you. He is here to inform you.
Detectives, they can't protect you from an assassin's bullet. No one can.
No, of course not. But detectives do ensure that the assassin is brought to justice. After the victim has been gunned down.
Commander Forrest of the Special Branch, Minister.
Ah, come in, Commander. Do sit down.
Thank you very much, sir. Now, you've been told about this list, sir. If I could just brief you on standard hazards and routine precautions.
Thank you, Bernard.
You know, I don't really have to take these things too seriously, do I?
Well, sir, in a sense, it's up to you, but we do advise...
Yeah, I can see that some people might get into a frightful funk. Well, it's a job, isn't it? I mean, all in a day's work.
I admire your courage, sir.
That's all right, then.
Now, to take bullets first. Obviously, there's your sniper on a high building or in a car, your killer who steals up close in a crowd and... your unexpected house caller, your marksman in a park van, and the revolver through the window of your car. So, avoid crowds and always keep away from windows.
Commander, can we have bulletproof curtains for the office?
They'll be here by lunchtime, sir. We'll fit them at your London flat and your constituency residence when we do the whole place over.
Do it over?
Yeah, just the usual. Special locks, sweeps, security alarms, 24-hour patrols by the local force, phone taps, so on.
See, just the usual.
You'll have a bodyguard of several men round the clock, so never answer your own front door in person. Keep the car window up and doors locked while you're driving, and never draw up on the pavement side at traffic lights. You don't want a terrorist to leap in and kidnap you, do you? Of course you don't. Now look, if they pull their car across in front of yours, don't ram it in the middle. Aim for one of the axles. Sweep it aside.
Sweep it aside.
Then there's bombs. Car bombs, and you know all about the letter and the parcel, so never open any yourself. But for the time being, I'll have them redirected. Now, poison. Well, you'll obviously be suspicious of gifts of food and drink, chocolate, sweets and so on, but check the milk bottle caps for hypodermic holes every morning. And don't forget the umbrella with the poison needle in the ferrule jabbed into the calf. And accidents. Never walk on the outside edge of pavement, river, jetty, wharf or railway platform. Makes it too easy for them. Especially the electric railway, so avoid the tube. Electrocution, now that's another of their favourites, by the way. A little tinkering with the telly, the kettle, the fire, the toaster, the high fire, the electric blanket, and Bob's your uncle. Your late uncle. They all have to be checked every time. Any questions? Well, there's the full list of safety precautions. I'll be in touch. Oh, and if you are pushed out of a high window and there's iron railings below, try and fall on your head. It's quicker. Well, goodbye for now, then, Minister.
How can we find these terrorists before they find me?
Well, telephone tapping and electronic surveillance of all possible suspects is the best way of picking them up. But, of course, that does incur intolerable intrusion upon individual privacy.
On the other hand, I mean, if the people's elected representatives are to represent the people, I mean, any attack on them is an attack on freedom.
How?
Well, because all such threats strike at the heart of the people's inalienable democratic right to be governed by the leaders of their choice. The safety of these leaders must therefore be protected by every possible means. However much we might regret the necessity for doing so.
Beautifully argued, Minister. My view exactly, or else you're a dead duck.
Bernard, what are you doing? What's all that?
It's the petition, Minister. It's just arrived. It was delivered in a van, so we stacked it on the tea trolley.
Petition?
Against phone tapping and electronic surveillance. The one you started when you were in opposition. It's got 2.25 million signatures. Isn't that a triumph?
But we need surveillance. After all, it's an indispensable weapon in the fight against organised crime, isn't it, Humphrey?
Oh, absolutely, Minister. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Oh, understood, Minister. Shall I file it?
File it? Shred it?
Shred it?
Yeah, we must make certain that no one ever finds it again.
In that case, Minister, perhaps we should file it.
This is a great way to spend a second honeymoon.
A table for how many, sir?
9.
Two.
I have a nice table by the window.
We've chosen the table for the target.
Target?
Sorry, Minister. Over there in that corner by the kitchen door.
Right, you sit here. Constable Ross will sit over there watching the kitchen door, sir. That's your escape route. We don't expect any assassins to be among the kitchen staff, as we only booked here this morning. I'll sit by the window. If you hear any gunshots, just dive under the table and we'll take care of it.
I'm not worried, honestly.
It was just a champagne cork, darling.
Yeah, well, just practicing.
Spaghetti bolognese to start with, then I'll have a T-bone steak with beans, peas, cauliflower and chips, and a bottle of Chateau Barrel Philip Rothschild 1961. Oh, this job really takes it out of you.
And what would you like, Tom?
I don't think I'm awfully hungry.
How about this one, then? Is this all right for you?
Lovely.
I don't like James Bond. I thought we were going to see Belle de Jour.
Yes, but well, they didn't want to see a foreign film. Oh, no.
Keep going.
Back to the hotel.
We've only just got here.
Come on, I can't stop you.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Excuse me. Just getting to the good one.
Are you asleep?
Of course not. How do you think I can sleep?
Shh.
Are we going out again?
Nope. Turned in for the night.
Right. So the target's in there, right?
Yep. Target's in there with his wife.
They don't seem to be enjoying their holiday, do they?
No. I wonder why.
I can't sleep here. I'm going home.
Well, it can't be worse than this.
What the hell's all this?
I beg your pardon, sir?
All these people in the garden. Dogs, searchlights. I wasn't told about this.
It's the local force, sir. They'll be wanting to show they're doing their bit.
Oh, my God.
Can I come in, sir?
You are in.
I just check the window, sir.
I'm...
Right, thank you, sir. Good night, sir. Sleep well.
Don't worry, darling. You'll get used to being a famous man's wife.
I hope so. I don't really want to be a famous man's widow.
But I don't follow. You say you're out to stop bugging and phone-tapping, and now you get this petition, 2.25 million signatures, terrific boost to your case, and you won't even give me a quote saying you welcome it. Or what about a promise to implement its main recommendations?
Well, you see, Walter, things aren't that simple.
Why not?
There are security considerations.
There always were. Okay, I think I'll make it an even bigger story. Minister rejects his own petition.
Now, steady on, Walter. Don't be silly. I'm not...
Accepting it or rejecting it?
No.
My editor wants me to ask if being on the Freedom Army death list has altered your views in any way.
Absurd idea. Never even occurred to me till now.
But how else am I to explain this sudden change of tune?
There's no change of tune. It's just...
Could Sir Humphrey have a word with you, Minister?
Ah, yes.
I'm sorry, Minister.
What can I do for you? Do you mind, Walter?
No, of course.
No, sir. I'll only be a minute.
I'll wait up.
Well, Minister, did you have a good weekend?
Oh, marvellous. Just me, Annie, half the special branch. All those romantic rozzers with Smith and Wessons under their armpits, unforgettable.
The burdens of office.
This can't go on.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Minister, because it isn't going to. Hmm? We just heard from the special branch that your protection is being withdrawn.
Now, hold on a minute. I didn't mean... Why?
The police have suffered an acute personnel establishment shortfall.
What?
They're short-staffed. They can't continue protecting you.
Short-staff?
Because of a much more real and dangerous threat to the Soviet premier at the Chequers meeting tomorrow.
But he's Russian.
British. Well, in fact, Minister, the special branch are confident that the threat to your life has diminished.
How do they know?
Surveillance, Minister. They overheard a conversation.
What did they hear?
Oh, I'm sure it's not of any...
No, come on, out with it, Humphrey. I've got a right to know.
Well, it was a conversation to the effect that in view of the somewhat nebulous and inexplicit nature of your remit and the arguably marginal and peripheral nature of your influence on the central deliberations and decisions within the political process, there could be a case for restructuring their action priorities in such a way as to eliminate your liquidation from their immediate agenda.
You said that?
Well, that was the gist of it, yes.
What does it mean? In English?
Well, Minister, it means you're not really important enough for it to be worth assassinating you.
Oh.
Hmm. Oh, I don't agree with them, of course.
You mean I should be assassinated?
No.
You mean I'm not important enough?
No. What I mean is that you are important enough, but they shouldn't assassinate you anyway.
Oh. Well, that's marvellous. Not that I was really worried.
No, of course not, Minister.
Excuse me, Minister, Sir Humphrey. Mr. Fowler wondered if you're going to be much longer.
I'm sorry, Jim, I have to...
No, come in. Oh, and Bernard, bring that petition along. Mr. Fowler might like to see how big it is.
The petition, but I thought you said...
Yes, I did. Could you get it, Bernard? Anthony?
Yes, indeed, Minister. You mean the... petition that you were so pleased
with. Yes, that's it. That's the one, Bernard.
Jim, the paper really must have an answer.
Yes, of course it must. Now, do sit down. I just wanted you to know that I do welcome this petition warmly.
Here it is, Minister.
Not just something you can sweep under the carpet. And as for death lists, well, ministers are dispensable, but freedom is indivisible. Isn't that so, Humphrey?
Yes, Minister.
In The Death List, you heard Paul Eddington as Jim Hacker, Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey, and Derek Foles as Bernard. Annie was played by Diana Hardinott, Commander Forrest by Graham Garden, Walter Fowler by Derek Newark, the detectives by Peter Aker and William Eadle, and the head waiter by John Bott. Guest Minister was written by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lim, and adapted for radio by the producer, Pete Atkin.